Did you have this feeling when you started playing Kingdom Hearts 3 that something just felt off? And slowly, as you went through the game, you started noticing more and more things that bothered you about the whole experience? Well then, if that's the case, you definitely wouldn't be alone. So that's why I'm going to be going over 5 of these problems that were in Kingdom Hearts 3 that Kingdom Hearts 4 can absolutely not have. I'm just going to put this right here. Of course, Kingdom Hearts 3 is not a completely terrible game. There are a lot of good things about it, but there are some bad things about it that deserve to be talked about and looked at as things that shouldn't be happening in a future installment. So that is why I'm going to start off at number 5, which is actually tie the narrative together with the Disney worlds. Now, we all know in Kingdom Hearts 3, the Disney worlds were literally pointless because all the story happened outside of them, which has happened in past Kingdom Hearts games, but it's not as profound as this one. The only real Disney world that Sora needed to go to was Olympus, and that was because he wanted to talk to Hercules about how he got his power back because Sora lost all of his power at the end of Dream Drop Distance. But that's really the only narrative point that makes sense for why Sora would go to one of these worlds. And it just so happened that when Sora got there, all the Titans were attacking Mount Olympus, and he had to go help Hercules save everyone. So that's why, in a Kingdom Hearts lore sense, why he had to do all that. But for the rest of the areas, like Monstropolis, Pirates of the Caribbean, and Toy Box, there really wasn't any reason for him to go there. He just kind of showed up and then helped them a little bit and then left. Which, yes, I know they've done that before in other Kingdom Hearts games, but it's not as bad as this one. Because all the exposition and all the story gets dumped on the rest of Twilight Town and the other cutscenes that show up once you beat a world. And until you get to the Keyblade Graveyard, that's pretty much it in terms of story actually progressing. Which I do believe in Kingdom Hearts 4, since it's going to be mostly Kingdom Hearts original worlds, I believe, at least for Quadratum. And we will get more of narrative-driven worlds that connect to the overall plot, instead of just Disney worlds that you show up for 5 minutes and then leave, and then it never makes an impact on anything ever again. And yes, in Kingdom Hearts 2, when you went back to the worlds that you went previously, like Nightmare Before Christmas and Little Mermaid, it did continue the plot of those worlds, but it didn't continue the plot of the overall story in that game. Which, of course, that's not a bad thing. Disney worlds are super fun to go around and see how Sora interacts with these characters. But at least in Kingdom Hearts 4, we need to have more continuity and connectivity to these worlds, to the plot, so that when you go to one of these worlds, it actually drives the story forward instead of just having a self-contained plot within that world. Alrighty, now for number 4, the first thing I noticed when I started playing Kingdom Hearts 3 is that Sora felt very, very floaty. And what I mean by that is that compared to the other games, when you would jump, the time it takes to actually fall down to the ground is much longer than in previous games. So let me give you an example. So in Kingdom Hearts 1, that game had the shortest air time. So the amount of time you would be in the air after you jumped and when you would fall back down and hit the ground is the shortest out of all the Kingdom Hearts games. I believe technically Dream Drop Distance has the highest time if you count the flow motion. And while yes, technically Kingdom Hearts 3 also had flow motion, but it was extremely stripped down. So compared to Dream Drop Distance, it felt very stiff when you would try to turn and move and jump. It felt more like you were locked into that animation than in Dream Drop Distance, where you could basically go anywhere from jumping off a wall. And that also ties in together with it being more floaty and that it takes longer to fall back to the ground and complete animations. Kingdom Hearts 3 was developed on the Unreal Engine, which means the particle effects and everything could look really, really nice and pretty, but the physics compared to the other engines that they would use for the other Kingdom Hearts games, which I believe was its own engine that they made for the games, but wasn't an open source engine like the Unreal Engine. So that's why if you get the feeling that it just doesn't feel like Kingdom Hearts, like the physics and everything, that's because of them changing the engine. And I'm not saying the Unreal Engine is bad, and I don't know enough about the Unreal Engine versus the Kingdom Hearts engines that they used previously to really explain how the physics and animations are off, but at least for me, Kingdom Hearts 3 doesn't feel completely 100% like a Kingdom Hearts game like the rest of the other ones. So I'm just gonna say it's slightly because of the Unreal Engine, but I'm not saying all the problems are because of it. And now at number 3, I have, how come when we beat Mount Olympus and Sora gets his new outfit for Kingdom Hearts 3 and we lose the outfit from Kingdom Hearts 2, how come we're not allowed to go back and wear that for the rest of the game if we want to? And even more than that, how come we can play as Kingdom Hearts 1 Sora, at least have his outfit at the beginning for the Station of Awakening at the beginning of the game for like 5 seconds? How come we can't use that outfit for any part or all of the game if we choose so? Now I know for Kingdom Hearts 1 Sora, you can mod in his outfit puppet and his model in Kingdom Hearts 3. However, there's no animations made for it, so none of the material would be stretched so you can't actually attack or do anything with it. So for that one, I will give a pass. But for Kingdom Hearts 2 Sora, for that outfit, you could already do basically every single thing in it, and all the animations would stack up. If you did New Game Plus and you used the Ultimate Keyblade or the Oblivion Keyblade or the Oathkeeper Keyblade, all the animations for every single Keyblade you could carry over would all work perfectly fine. So there's really no reason why we couldn't use that outfit again, and the only really way to do it is to get Kingdom Hearts 3 on PC and mod it, which is really unfortunate. Kingdom Hearts 4, we really need to be able to use different costumes and outfits that Sora has worn in other games. So for example, as I already mentioned, Kingdom Hearts 1 Sora's outfit, Kingdom Hearts 2, Dream Drop Distance, and just having those outfits for if you complete the game, or if you do like a certain side quest, or if you do a certain number of activities, they could add ways for you to be able to get these alternate outfits, just as an excuse to have them in the game. I will 100% Kingdom Hearts 4 if I can play as Kingdom Hearts 1 Sora, or Dream Drop Distance Sora, or Kingdom Hearts 2 Sora, and be able to see that in all the cutscenes. And just having the ability to change how Sora looks, and just seeing the same outfit just in different colors depending on which form change you use for the Keyblades, gets kind of old after, you know, the second playthrough, and even the first playthrough if you play long enough. So for sure, Kingdom Hearts 4 needs to have multiple outfits that you can wear for Sora, and if Riku is playable, alternate costumes for him, and Mickey, and, you know, so on and so forth. I think if you can play as Kairi, though, I think you should just keep her normal outfit that she has now, considering she's already wearing what she wore in Kingdom Hearts 1. It's just underneath what she's wearing now, like the tank top, she's wearing it underneath the jacket that she has. Now at number 2, I have something I just previously mentioned in the last point, which is more playable characters. Now, I've done a few videos about different playable characters that could and should be in Kingdom Hearts 4, including one that Kairi might be playable in Kingdom Hearts 4 as a main character. But as we know, Sora's trapped in Quadratum right now, so what better way to start the story than start it as Kairi training with Lee to become stronger to go find Sora? Because at the end of Kingdom Hearts 3 Remind, she wants to go with Riku to help find Sora, but she's not strong enough to actually protect herself yet. But she's definitely getting there as she held her own against Master Xehanort, or a memory of him that she fought in the final world. And while Roxas, Lee, and Shion are finally all back together, so they basically could care less about Sora. Not really, but they're basically all together now. So there's no real way I could think of putting Roxas in a position to go help find Sora and have all the characters be able to be playable, but at least have Riku and Kairi be playable, because we've been with them since the beginning of the series. So why not have them in more positions where we can play as them as main characters? I think it's been long enough, and I think they deserve it. Especially Kairi, she needs to stop being the damsel in distress and actually go do something for once. And that also ties into my last point, in where if they do become playable characters, I also want alternate costumes for them, like Riku's outfit in Kingdom Hearts 1 when he got taken over by darkness. It's just little things like costume changes and outfit changes that will give you more customizability to the characters that you're playing as, so you can really feel like you're playing as Kairi and Riku, because you have that level of interactivity with these characters that will just make it so much better. Because even though we got to play as Riku for a tiny bit, Kairi for a tiny bit if you purchase a DLC, and we got to play as Aqua for just like one boss fight, it's really a problem that it shouldn't have had. If it was this all being encompassing game, they should have let you play as the characters more than just one small section that they built just for that. And it really bugs me that you weren't able to. Here at number 1, I have potentially the biggest problem that I've touched on previously in number 5, but I'm going to go a little bit more in depth into it and take it from a different point of view. And that point is, give us more Kingdom Hearts lore for the Kingdom Hearts worlds. Don't just settle on the Disney worlds and then put the Kingdom Hearts stuff separately. Give us more Kingdom Hearts world lore. Like what we got in Melody of Memory, which was a rhythm game, but all we got for the story was just Kingdom Hearts story, and all story, exposition, everything was all about Kingdom Hearts. None of it was about Disney. And while again, I do not hate the Disney stuff at all whatsoever, it's just because of the Disney stuff being so prevalent in these games, especially Kingdom Hearts 3, that there's barely any time to actually talk about stuff that's in the Kingdom Hearts games, lore-wise and story-wise. For Kingdom Hearts 4, that's a problem that really shouldn't be in there. If this is truly supposed to be Phase 2 of the Kingdom Hearts franchise, and the Kingdom Hearts 4 is supposed to kick that off, we're gonna need a lot of lore and a lot of exposition to start a story that will carry us for however many games they decide to keep making for this Phase 2. I made a video a couple days ago talking about if we really need Disney World worlds in Kingdom Hearts 4 for it to be considered like an actual Kingdom Hearts game. So I'm just going to explain it super duper quickly right now. Well, yes, but actually no. Because, especially for Kingdom Hearts 4, we literally barely know anything about Quadratum. So starting it off, we need to know so much about this unreality that exists within Kingdom Hearts. It could potentially have almost as much lore as the Kingdom Hearts franchise in itself. And if they take time away from doing that with Disney Worlds, I'm slightly okay with it. But I really, really want to have Kingdom Hearts 4 to have very minimal Disney interactions so that we can see exactly where Sora is, how Riku gets to him, and where they are, what's happening, who's there, why is Master of Masters there, who is Yozora actually, because technically he said that's not his real form. And there's so many questions that we need answers to that just squeezing in a couple Disney Worlds ain't gonna kill us. But again, making it like Kingdom Hearts 3 with the Disney Worlds just completely breaking up the pacing just cannot happen in Kingdom Hearts 4. We need so many questions answered. We really don't have time to go visit China. I mean, Winnie the Pooh. Normally why people go back and play Kingdom Hearts 2 is for the gameplay. And for Kingdom Hearts 4 to be extremely successful, in my opinion, is for instead of people going back to play for the gameplay, they would be going back to experience the story again and the character interactions and just go back and watch all the cutscenes. If someone goes back into a 10 to 15 hour long JRPG just to experience the story, that's a mark of mastery, and that means that you've made a really good story, that people will go back through the game, not just to play the game, but to also experience the story again as a complement to the gameplay. That pretty much wraps up all my points for what should not be in Kingdom Hearts 4. And I know it was more of a rant kind of geared at Kingdom Hearts 3 and all the problems I had with it, but it's more constructive criticism of I don't want this happening in Kingdom Hearts 4, and just because it all basically happened in Kingdom Hearts 3 doesn't mean I hate the game. It's just something I don't want to see repeated in a future installment. So if you guys could let me know what you think of this list down in the comments, if you agree or disagree, and if you guys did enjoy this video, if you could leave a like on it. And of course, if you want to see more content like this and stay up to date with all my videos, if you could hit that subscribe button and hit the notification bell, that would be greatly appreciated, as I'm on the road to 100 subscribers. My plan is to get to 100 before the end of August, or at least the beginning of fall. So if we could hit that goal, that would be absolutely incredible. Thank you all who have been supporting me thus far, and I sincerely appreciate everything that you've commented and done. It means so much to me, and I love seeing this channel grow every single morning when I wake up. The comments and the positivity is overjoying, to say the least. And let me know down in the comments what other kind of videos you want to see, whether they be Kingdom Hearts related or not. I would definitely like to hear your guys' thoughts. And with that, that's the end of the video. So I'll see you guys and have a good one.